The Holy Gospel according to John, the first chapter. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, 'After me comes a man who ranks before me, for he was before me.' I myself did not know him, but for this I came baptizing with water, that he might be revealed to Israel." And John bore witness. "I saw the Spirit descend as a dove from heaven, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain, this is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit.' And I have seen and I have borne witness that this is the Son of God." The next day, again, John was standing with two of his disciples, and he looked at Jesus as he walked and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. Jesus turned and saw them following and said to them, "What do you seek?" And they said to him, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" He said to them, "Come and see." They came and saw where he was staying, and they stayed with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which means Christ. He brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "So you are Simon, the son of John. You shall be called Cephas," which means Peter. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. I invite the children to come forward for the children's sermon. Good morning. Good morning, good morning. How are y'all this morning? You staying warm? Yeah, it's a little cold outside. Did y'all go back to school this week? Yeah? Good week at school? All right. So today we've got John the Baptist. We talked about him last week. We talked about baptism last week. About God loving us and God choosing us. And today, John starts to tell more people about Jesus. John starts to tell people about who Jesus is and what Jesus is going to do in the world. And Jesus starts making friends, we'll put it that way. Calling disciples, making friends, it's all the same thing. So Jesus starts making more and more friends. And as they learn about Jesus, they start telling other people about Jesus. And pretty soon, there are a whole bunch of people following Jesus. So many people that we are here today because somebody told us about Jesus. Somebody told you about Jesus, your parents. Somebody told all of these folks about who Jesus is and what Jesus does, and that's why we're gathered here. So what we can do is share what we know about Jesus with our friends and to tell the world about what Jesus does. And really, it's so simple. Just like last week, God loves us, Jesus loves us. And Jesus calls us to love one another. So can you repeat after me? Jesus loves me. This I know. For the Bible tells me so. I think we have a song that goes like that. Yeah. Now I want you to look out at all those wonderful people. And I want you to say, Jesus loves you. It's exactly what John the Baptist was doing, telling people about Jesus. And that's exactly what Jesus calls us to do. Will you pray with me? All right. Dear Jesus, thank you for loving us. Help us to love everyone the way that you love us. Amen. All right. Good to see y'all. We haven't sung that song in a while. Maybe it's time to sing that good old simple gospel truth. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you this morning. Amen. Come and see. Pretty simple invitation. Come and see. It's an invitation that will actually get repeated as John's story unfolds. This is not the only time that phrase is uttered. Where are you staying, Jesus? Come and see. What are you up to, Jesus? Come and see. What is Jesus up to, Nathanael will ask. Come and see. It's about witnessing what Jesus does in the world, who he is, and that's what John comes proclaiming. It's very elaborate language in this gospel for John the Baptizer. What we celebrated last week, the baptism of Jesus, we have the following story. After Jesus' baptism, he goes into the wilderness for his testing for 40 days and then comes back. And John testifies to this unfolding ministry. It's not an overnight success. It's not immediate. There has to be some coaxing along the way. And so John keeps proclaiming. It's not all over after the baptism. John says, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Behold. Just another way of saying, come and see. Behold Jesus. This is the one that I was talking to y'all about. All those months out in the wilderness, this is the one that I was preparing the way for. This is the one that Isaiah prepared us for. He's here. It's not just some casual story. It's not just some throwaway invention of the past. He's here. Behold, come and see. And so two disciples go and see. Two brothers, Andrew and Peter. And they begin the long chain of witnesses that bring us here today. The long chain of witnesses of sharing this story, a long chain of witnesses that in some form or fashion have said, "Behold, this is Jesus," or "Come and see." You've probably heard that phrase 1,000 times in your life. Maybe not in those specific words. But you've had an invitation. An invitation to a new band. Hey, come to this concert with me. I really love this artist. You should come and listen to them. Invitation to a new job. Invitation to a new relationship. Hey, I know so-and-so. You should really get to know them. I think that y'all would get along. Over and over again, we've had this invitation, come and see. And it's changed us. Simple invitations. The clothes we wear, the music we listen to, the food we eat. All comes at a simple invitation. Marketing wants to make you think it's more complicated than that. Commercials, catchy music, flashing lights, and it works. I kid you not, Doc, my son's favorite thing to watch on TV are the lottery numbers every night. Not because he knows numbers, because it's bouncing balls and really colorful lights. It's an invitation. Come and see. And so we've created a game of it. We try to guess the numbers, and I guarantee you we will never win the lottery in our house. But it's an invitation. So what is Jesus inviting us into now? Where are those come and see moments? Right here, right now, in the unfolding month of 2023. Talked about this the last couple of Sundays. But I'm interested, what are you perceiving? What are you seeing in the world? In all of the cacophony of events that unfold 24/7? What are you seeing? What are you perceiving? What are those invitations? New diet, go back to the gym, new car, all of those things. Pretty easy callings this time of year. But where's the gospel unfolding for you? When I was at A&M, the campus pastor, Deb Grants, one of my mentors and dear friends, taught us to ask a question: where do you see Jesus? Or where have you seen Jesus this week? Over and over again, she used this with her confirmation kids. I've used it throughout my life and short career. Where have you seen Jesus this week? It's just another way of asking, come and see. Because when we share those moments, we're proclaiming the gospel. We're proclaiming where this story is unfolding in our lives. And it's just like that moment when John says, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And when I tell you where I've seen Jesus this week, it may not be as the same flowery language as John, but it's that same behold, and it's that same invitation, come and see. We celebrate the legacy of one this weekend who said a lot of behold, this is the Son of God, this is Jesus Christ, and also who made a lot of invitations. Tomorrow is our celebration of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. And in his speeches and writings are a wealth of invitations, are a wealth of witnesses to what Jesus is doing in the world. And through struggle and celebration, over and over again, Dr. King offered that invitation and offered that kind of storytelling. A behold moment and a come and see. I invite you to reflect on some of his works if you take the time. If you've never read it, The Letter from Birmingham Jail is a great place to start. It is a powerful come and see moment. It is a come to Jesus letter that he wrote on toilet paper because they would not give him regular paper when he was locked in that jail in Birmingham. It is a statement on what he perceived in the world, the injustices, but also a call to action. It's a testament to the gospel, maybe through harsh words, but words that needed to be spoken. John the Baptist does the same thing, sometimes through harsh words, but words that need to be spoken. We live just a stone's throw here in Tennessee from the last come and see moment of Dr. King's life when he was in Memphis, where he was assassinated. He wasn't there just to give another speech. He was there bearing witness to struggle. His advisor told him not to go. They sensed that something was up, but King went anyway. And he was there with striking sanitation workers. He was there helping to fight for their rights. He was saying, in a sense, behold, come and see this injustice and let us make it right. Which is why it always baffles me that on the Monday when we celebrate Dr. King's life, that our sanitation workers are still working. Give them the day off. Recognize what King was fighting for. Come and see. The story of the Bible is not over. Our own ancestor of faith, Martin Luther, the namesake of Martin Luther King Jr., didn't think the Bible was closed. He didn't believe the canon was done. He didn't believe that it ended with Revelation. He actually didn't have a whole lot of time for Revelation to begin with. He believed that we participate in writing the new stories, the new chapters, that we, in a sense, become like John the Baptist or like Paul who wrote to the Corinthians, that we become the ones who tell the story, that we become the ones who say, come and see and behold, And that those moments where we name, where we have encountered the risen Christ in our world, are gospel. They are gospel. And they have the power to transform and shape, so that 1,000 years from now, there will be a group of people gathered sharing these stories, because we invited them in, because we shared what we've encountered. So I invite you into a reflection on that this week. And I really mean it. Think, where do you see Jesus? Where do you see Jesus at work in this world, in your life, in the life of others? And then I invite you, don't keep it to yourself. Tell those stories. Maybe use words like John, behold. Or make the invitation, come and see. Because those stories are transformational, and again, I say they are gospel. So where have you seen Jesus? I look forward to hearing those stories. Amen. Let us stand and join together in our hymn of the day, number 715, Christ Be Our Light.